It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 15, and we're going to proceed through because that brings in all the division, the dividing of the lands, and so we're going to go down through directing towards chapter 19. And so we're going to read just the one verse, Joshua chapter 15, verse 1, to kind of start the study today. And so while you're opening your Bibles and finding Joshua chapter 15, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Joshua chapter 15, again, we're just going to read one verse today because we're going to be through many, many verses. And so, Joshua chapter 15, beginning to read with verse 1. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, and the wilderness of Zin southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and study your precious word as we look through these many verses of scripture. It's so exciting to see your word and your way. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. We just ask, as always, that you'll touch every heart that's listening, those that do not know you as their personal Savior, that today they'll realize that it's more than just a head knowledge, more than just knowing that Jesus died upon the cross, just more than history, but it's a personal relationship, knowing Jesus personally as your Savior. Oh, please, dear Lord, that you'll convict the hearts today, that many will be saved. And then we ask, dear Lord, that salvation will just be the beginning. Once saved, you're always saved. You keep us, dear Lord, we know that. But please, dear Father, that you will show us, too, that there is more than just salvation. There is a wonderful life to live if we'll follow you and trust in you each and every day. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now through this study, that folks will be saved and folks will grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at the beginning of this, and again, chapter 15 through chapter 19 is the division of the lands that's west of the Jordan. There's 9.5 tribes that are involved here that had not chosen to stay on the east side with the 2.5 tribes. They wanted to have what the Lord would have for them, their fullness of the inheritance, and this is their inheritance. You know, we receive eternal life. That is our inheritance. Well, we begin that wonderful inheritance right now as we live each day in the Lord Jesus, but to inherit eternal life and have that, these folks here, they too by faith could come to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and have eternal life. They also here received a material gain, and that is in land and possessions. God blessed, and the nation of Israel is the only one that he promises such a clear blessing of material things. He promised if they would stay true and faithful to them that he would keep them healthy and he would give them great wealth. He would give them this land. And as we've talked many times, as we are looking at the giving of this land, God's the only one that truly owns this earth. So he's the only one that can truly give away land to anyone. And he has not given it to anyone other than the nation of Israel. And we have that giving away right here in the Word of God. God gave this land to these people. So all the fighting, all the battles that you want to fight with, the owner of the land gave this land of Canaan unto Israel. Now, there's a lot of people that live there now. A lot of people claim rights to that land right now, but they have no right to do that because the God that created us, the God that created this world, that spoke this world into existence, he is the one that gave this land to these people, and so the nation of Israel. So keep that straight. keep that in mind as we now begin this wonderful study of this division of the land, as not only do they have it, but then also God sees fit to use a way of casting a lot, so to speak, to figure out whose land, who gets what. And that was the fair way. That way no one was given any kind of special privileges. And yet God saw fit that the right amount of people, their requirements, they had adequate land to meet every one of those requirements. Now, we see here that the tribe of Judah is the first, and this tribe of Judah receives the first portion. Their inheritance was in the high country. It's next and to and south and west of Jerusalem. And so if you'll, and I hope again that you have acquired a map by this time, because it sure does help. And most Bibles have a map of the dividing of Canaan into the 12 tribes. And so I hope that you have that. And if you do, why, you can see that Jerusalem is kind of the borderline right there, and it would be, and that is in the edge of the land of Benjamin, and so Judah is just south of that, and it goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, goes all the way to the Dead Sea, and for a time it comes all the way to Kadesh Barnea, which is way down south. And so if you look at a map, why, you can find the area, the tremendous area that this Judah received. And they received a very special blessing. It was a royal tribe, and they was given a great honor from God, the owner themselves. And so they received such a tremendous blessing here, and they were the first to be given this. Now, as we look through, and we're going to go very rapidly through this, because you'll see it gives all the directions and everything of where it's at. Many of those towns and lands we don't have, and so we're just going to move right over to verse 12. And verse 12 says, "And the west border," and I want you to read that. I have read through that several times, and it's somewhat difficult in some of the names and things like that, but it does give you the borders very clearly of where the tribe of Judah will lie. And then in verse 12, it says of that 15th chapter, "And the west border was to the great sea, and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah round about according to their families." And so that's kind of a summary of what the close of the section on the land there. And then we pick back up in verse 13 with Caleb. Now, last time we were together, we talked about Caleb, because Caleb had come to Joshua and had a request. And we're going to go over to chapter 14, to the last chapter, and look at verse 9 through verse 13 to kind of remind you of that request, because we do have now, Caleb is a part of Judah, but he's going to receive, once again, a special blessing. You know, when you stay true and faithful to the Lord, He will bless you. He will take care of you. Israel is promised material blessings. We are promised spiritual blessings. Either way, the blessings are wonderful and necessary, and I hope that you realize what you can have in the Lord Jesus if you'll look to Him and serve Him and praise Him. Joshua chapter 14, verse 9. "Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, saying, The children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." So he's 85 years old. "And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. Now, what a wonderful promise. God does hold true to his word, and Caleb come asking for what was given him, and he says, I want this mountain, and I will take this mountain. If you'll remember back, there were great enemies and strong enemies, and so we need to see that those we've studied up through the scripture why these giants and these fenced cities and all these things were present. But that didn't worry Caleb, because Caleb said that if so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And, you know, we need to hang on to those wonderful promises like that. When God tells us something, we need to understand it and stay true to it. And so this area here that he was given, and we have this section before us now in verse 13 down through the verse 18, and all those scripture verses there are talking about what Caleb has done. And if we go now to verse 14 of Joshua 15, chapter 15, verse 14, I hope I haven't lost you. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shisha and Ahiman and Talma, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Derbe, and the name of Derbe before was Kirjath Sefer. And that area there, if you'll look upon your maps once again, you will find that region, it lays down below Hebron. You know, you've got Jerusalem, and then we're going to talk about Shiloh maybe today, that's up north in Ephraim, the land of Ephraim. But you come down south, and you've got Bethlehem, you'll see on your map, and you come down to Hebron. Well, if you look at Hebron, and then you go to the west and south just a little bit, you'll find Debir. And that is where the area that Caleb claimed that he wanted. And when they come up from Kadesh Barnea, and that's where they were at 45 years before, and they came up to this land. They came up and searched out this land. And when he saw this land, he wanted this land. And again, we talked about some very important folks that are buried there too. And we see that is the area and the region that Caleb claimed and he was given. But he surely was not afraid of those battles. And he went in to have the victory, and he was given the victory. Drove thence those three sons out, and he went and inhabited the land, as the scripture tells us. There was also something here that was kind of a special victory of one area. And he said, if any man can take this area, this region, I will give you my daughter. Well, it says that his brother of Caleb, it could have been a nephew, it could have been a cousin. A lot of times the words there mean a little bit different as we look at those words, but we find that it was a very close family member of Caleb said, yes, I will go take that land. And so he did, and he received then for his wife the daughter of Caleb. And when that was about to be closed, about to be finished, why, we find something else taking place, because then she would ask, and the request was that I need some water. Land is is not worth much unless you have water on that land. And so Caleb granted her the upper springs and the nether springs, or the lower springs, so she did have water. And, you know, all we have to do is ask, and we'll have that living water. And that living water is something, yes, that is eternal life to us, but it is every day that we need that living water. We need to be nourished by that living water. And here, while we find a beautiful picture of her requesting and receiving a plenty of water, two springs, one upper and one lower, and again, that's probably in this area between Hebron and Deber, in that area there where we're going to find it. And now if we go the next step then, and we finish up then the uttermost cities in verse 21. Verse 20, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. We have not only first Judah, then we have the special area for Caleb, and then a special area for Caleb's family. And then we come and we find the summary then in verse 20, Joshua chapter 15, verse 20. Then we come to verse 21, and the uttermost cities of the tribes of the children of Judah. And it begins listing the cities, not only the borders, but also the cities. And we have that whole section. Then we get to verse 63. We come to a problem in verse 63. Seems like everything is going well, and then all of a sudden we have a problem. And that problem is that the Jebusites dwell with the children of Israel. They were commanded to drive all of these people out. And what happens very quickly, very soon what happens, they find themselves in the area of worshiping these idols. And that's what they do. They begin to worship the idols of the Canaanites and the Jebusites. And if they would have cleaned house, if they would have went in and taken everybody out, you know what? There wouldn't have been a problem. But instead of that, they chose not to do that. But look at verse 63, Joshua 15, 63. And as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah in Jerusalem unto this day. That is a problem. That is a problem. I told you the northern boundary was the city of Jerusalem, and here we have these Jebusites living right there in that precious city we know that David's going to claim as the city of God. And here we find, and God himself calls it his city. And so here we find these Jebusites are left there. That is a problem. When we come and we take part of our inheritance, we take it, but we also leave then the world present, and we don't see a big problem. Oh, we're going to cause a lot of heartache if we do this or do that. If we stop fellowshipping and being with these certain folks, well, you know, they're going to be mad at us, you know. And so, listen, they're lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They love the world. Why do you want to be around them? And in this case, God said, destroy them. But they didn't. This isn't going to be the only time this will happen. Now we go to chapter 16, and we find, as we look at the first verse of chapter 16, the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east side to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho through Mount Bethel. And once again, we begin with the division of the land for Joseph, but we know that this is divided into two parts, into Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, half of Manasseh, if you remember right, is already on the other side. They decided not to come. So this family has divided. And half of them took the country of the north on the east side. But now on the west side, and kind of the central of the land of Canaan, is where Manasseh will end up. And Ephraim is right below them. And so Manasseh and Ephraim are Joseph's two sons. They got a two blessings. So the descendants, there was a double portion given to Joseph, and we have that division right here. And again, there is the boundaries. If you have a map, you can see where that's located. If I would read the names of the towns, it wouldn't make any difference, or the borders for you to understand. But again, look at the map, and you'll see one tribe on the east side at the north, and then you'll find the second half of Manasseh being in kind of the center part of the land of Israel, land of Canaan, and then just south of that is Ephraim. And then below that, we'll find Benjamin. Dan is over to the west of that, then, and below there is all of Judah and Simeon. And so as we look now at this division, we have, once again, as we had before, we have a problem. Let's go to verse 10, Joshua chapter 16, verse 10. And they drave out, not out. They drove not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gerza, but the Canaanites dwelt among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute. And so they did give a little bit there, but there was a problem there. Now, after we look at the problem here that Manasseh and Ephraim had without driving, not driving the Canaanites out, same kind of problem that they had in the past, if you'll remember that all the time. Now, we look at chapter 17. We get back to Manasseh again. But the reason is that we have a great-grandson of Manasseh. And this one great-grandson of Manasseh didn't have any girls. And so he was wondering, what is going to happen then to mine, because I can't hand them anything. They're girls. Well, it was taken care of, and so they did get their proper inheritance. You know, Lord is fair, and he gives them as if they were sons. Since he didn't have any sons, then the daughters received his part and his portion. And you have that from verse 3 down through verse 6. And so, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And so it was all taken care of, no problems. Now, we still have a problem, and that is verse 12. Chapter 17, verse 12. We got that same problem. The Canaanites would dwell in the land. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out. They could. If they would have just turned to the Lord, they could have driven them out. But instead of that, they did not. They chose not to. And the inhabitants of Canaan stayed. Now, you stay with that, because what's going to happen here as you see these repeated problems of allowing these people to be in the land is going to be a problem. It's the same thing with allowing folks within the body of believers, within the church, folks that don't believe, but they just stay. And I have always preached that the back door has got to be as big as the front door. Because if you don't like the Word of God, if you don't want the truth, and you want to pollute it in some way or change it in some way, go out that door and find a church that's that way. If you don't want to get right with the Lord, that's your problem, but don't come and destroy us. And so we have folks that come, and then they go. And that's just fine, because if they don't want to get right with the Lord and stay and grow with us, that's fine. Go someplace else. Don't tear us up in the process. That's exactly what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. They're going to be torn up from inside because they're allowing this to stay. You can't allow that to happen. And yet it's done all the time with unbelievers that are around and even in leadership positions in these churches. And so they did not drive them out. Verse 13, Joshua 17:13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And so you see, they got something from them, but that's not the point. God could take care of them. They needed to destroy them, and that's what they were supposed to do, but they didn't. Now, we come back here. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Now, the children of Joshua, Manasseh and Ephraim, and particularly Manasseh, was a great group. They already had so much land on the east side to the north, and they had a good portion of land that was in the central part of the land of Canaan. But they said, we need more. We need more. And so Joshua said, well, take that mountain. And they says, well, there's too many there. There are giants in the Mount Ephraim to be dealt with. And so he said, go in, clear the timber, take the mountain, clear the timber. You can sell the timber. It's yours. Go take it. Well, they had a problem with that. And and even they come back in verse 16 and says, you know, that's not even enough. And also, here's the problem, also the Canaanites have chariots of iron. Why are the Canaanites still there? They're still there. There's still a problem there. Joshua, he took care of it. Down in verse 17, he spake to the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. And he says, go and take it. Drive out, the last part of that verse 18, drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong, go drive them out. That's the command of Joseph, of Joshua, unto the family of Joseph. And so, take them out. Just go take it. And you know, it's so sad because we're not seeing here the power of God and the family trusting in the Lord here. They have arrived. They've settled in, like we've talked about before. And all of a sudden now, why we're sitting and having a little problem here. And the problem is they didn't listen to the Lord. Now we come to chapter 19. And chapter 19, we find, and as we look at, chapter 18. I skipped a chapter. Chapter 18, and the first verse there is going to tell us about Shiloh. Have you wondered where the tabernacle's at? Well, the tabernacle's going to be taken to Shiloh, set up there, and it'll stay there up through the Judges as you study the Scripture. That's how long that stays there. And then it is finally brought down to Jerusalem and taken care of. But for years, it's kept in Shiloh. And so they are to all come to Shiloh, not to Jerusalem yet, but to Shiloh to worship. And so we have that at this verse of Scripture, chapter 18, Joshua 18:1, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And so here we have what they is in place, and that is exactly where they're to come and to bring their offerings, bring their sacrifices. And when they put all the feasts in order, then the ones that they should travel to Jerusalem, they should travel to Shiloh, because there are certain ones that they have to come to the tabernacle for, and so they will do that. And it's that's the location and the place. And if you wonder where Shiloh is, it's in the land of Ephraim, and it is north of Jerusalem. Again, I hope that you have a map, because it would be north and just a tad to the east, up in beyond the central part of Ephraim, over to the east side of it, or in the east portion of it, is where you're going to find Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle is going to be. And now we come to the next section of the chapter 18. There remain among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. What have they been doing? This has all been taken care of. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long art thou slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? It's already been given to them. They're just sitting around with their hands in their pocket. How many Christians do you know are doing that right now? The inheritance is there, but they're sitting around their hands in their pockets. They're not doing a thing. They don't have any peace, don't have any joy, don't have any power or strength. They're just hanging around, and that's what we have right here, just sitting around with their hands in their pockets. What a sad, sad day. There are seven tribes, and so we have Judah and Manasseh and Ephraim, and just half of Manasseh, so there's your two and a half tribes. And so there's still seven that have not taken their possession. And so what a sad, sad day that everybody sits around and just has no interest. But Joshua here, he tells them, how long are you going to be slack to go possess the land which the Lord God hath given you? And he says, you know, get to it. And then he begins to give them instructions of how to do it. Sometimes you just got to lead the blind, because they just will not move. And it's so sad. There it was, but they didn't take it. God says, take the land. And we need to take possession of our inheritance too, my friend. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so you and I can live. praise the Lord that we can have salvation free. Grace is ours if we just come by faith and trust Him in our hearts, call upon Him. Please do that today. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so you can live, so you can have your inheritance. And so please, please, please trust in Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?